So we're in week four of this series that we've been doing, The Space Between Us. Once we finish this up, of course, we're going to be heading into Christmas, and we're very excited about that. But what we've been talking about is, are there practices, things we can do in our life that can close the distance between us and God? You know, there are times when all of us, no matter how long we've been believers, or some of us, maybe if you're not a believer right now, then this is really real. It feels like there's distance between God. God is not someone we can necessarily see right now. You know, he's invisible. Sometimes it's hard to feel him. Sometimes it's hard to understand him. And so this thing that we call faith, are we able to grow it? Are we able to strengthen it? Are we able to close the distance between us and God? So we've been talking about some of the ways that we do that. And so today, we have a really special day because we're going to have some panelists come up here. You're not going to have to listen to me the whole time. It's a win for everybody. But what I want to start by just sharing that I went up to some meetings at the beginning of this week in Syracuse. And so we're part of the Vineyard movement, and maybe you don't know that, but there's a little less than 600 Vineyard churches in America. We're a church planting movement that's been around since the 70s. And what connects us is shared relationships and shared values. And so we have leadership structures to take care of pastors and churches. So I met this week with our regional leadership. Our region goes from Maine to us, basically, Delaware to Maine. And we're the only Vineyard in Delaware. Woo! So we met just to talk about the next 2 years and some goals that we have and how we can best strengthen and take care of the local churches. But what it was for me was, it was a great opportunity for me to be invested in by leaders who have been doing this longer than I have. And I felt like, I mean, I hope that I contributed something, but really I felt really selfish. Like every free moment we had, I was sitting down next to another pastor. So I've been pastoring for, you know, my whole adult life, but I've never been the lead pastor, and it's a different animal, right? So I've been doing that for a little over a year, but I was able to sit down next to some people who have been doing it for years, who have been changing the communities that their churches are planted in, who have been leading people along the faith journey for much, much longer than I have. And so I was able to sit down with these guys who, I've looked up to, but they're very friendly, and they were able to say some things to me that really encouraged me. So literally I was at a restaurant for one of these nights, and this guy named Phil, he pastored a church in North Jersey Vineyard, just outside of New York City. And, you know, I was just talking to him about some of the things that I'm frustrated about. And, you know, his basic message to me was like, you know, you just can't give up. You can't stop doing the things that you know that you're supposed to be doing. And even if you don't see exactly what you're hoping to see, you can't stop doing those things because this is a marathon. It's not a sprint. You're in this for the long haul. So you have to just keep doing it. You have to keep inviting. You have to keep reaching out. And he was experience and with faith that he knew what he was saying was true because he's on the other side of it, right? So that spoke to me. I actually texted Mandy and I texted Jonathan from those meetings, and I was like, man, this is really, really good for me. I feel like encouraged to come back and kind of hit the ground running again. And, that's what being around other people who can speak into your life can do for you. And that's what we're going to talk about today. There's a proverb that I've been thinking about. This is in the book of Proverbs, written by ancient Israel. Had two really, really famous kings, King David and his son, King Solomon. King Solomon was known for his wisdom. He wrote what we refer to as the wisdom books or wisdom literature in the Old Testament. So Proverbs is one of them. If you've never read the book of Proverbs, listen, whether you go to church or not, you can find stuff in here that will really, really help you in just practically living your life. One way to read the book of Proverbs, I've done this on and off again over my life, is you just start on the first of the month and you read one every day because there's 31 of them, and you just get through by the end of the month, and it's kind of like, that's neat. I mean, I not necessarily recommend it during December because I don't know that Proverbs really goes well with Christmas, but you could try it and see what happens. But I love this verse, and a lot of them are just so obvious, but they aren't things you think about. Become wise by walking with the wise. Just so easy. Become wise by walking with the wise. People you spend time with rub off on you. You know this to be true, don't you? In your life, you know, there's another verse in the New Testament that says, bad company corrupts good character. So the opposite is also true. You know that it's true, just in your experience, that the people you hang out with influence how you think and how you talk and how you behave. So become wise by walking with the wise. We've been talking about five ways that we can strengthen our faith and get closer to Jesus. And I told you that Andy Stanley wrote this book that we're pulling some of this information from. And he basically studied, he and his staff, hundreds of people who have come to faith. And he said, what are the main things that happened on your journey to faith? And one thing that almost everyone says is there are these providential relationships that come in my life that have led me to be closer to God. And I want to talk about that today. That's what we're going to spend time on is, do you and I have these providential relationships? Can we lean into life-giving relationships instead of waiting for them to happen on accident? Can we lean into the relationships that challenge us, that strengthen us, that encourage us, that say, no, there's more to God, there's more in you. So what we're going to do, so we're going to just spend our whole time talking about this. I'd like to invite our panelists to come on up right now. I know they're all a little bit nervous, but you're going to just come up and hang out with me on stage for the rest of the time. So if we can just give them a round of applause for their stairs over here, for those of you who haven't used them before. Okay, so these are three friends of mine who have been part of the church for a long time. We're excited to hear from them. Basically, what I'm going to do is instead of me sharing stories from my life about this, I'm going to ask them some questions. They do know what the questions are, so it's not like I'm going to be, but I don't know, I might throw a few curveballs at you guys. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves first, and then, and I think we're going to use this microphone behind you, and then we'll move on.
My name's Dan Costa.
Hi, I'm Anupa Smith.
My name's Jillian Fritch.
All right, I'll be honest. I was hoping for a little bit more. Oh, like, I don't know, like, your name. Oh, man, sorry, guys. What else do you want to know about him? Okay, how long have you been going to the church?
This church?
Yeah, this church.
I've been going to City Light since we launched.
Yay, launch team member, woohoo!
I came to City Light after an event like that's happening on December 1st, a parenting type thing, you know, don't go crazy when you're raising your younger children, and got to meet some wonderful people and started coming about a year ago, yeah.
I've been coming here to City Light, I guess about a year, the very first service.
And what's special about Dan is Dan and I have known each other almost our whole lives. So
long time.
We go way back. Too long. Yeah. okay, one quick practical note. Just hold the mic close to your mouth when you talk. Okay, so we're going to start with the first question. How are we doing so far, guys? This is really comfortable.
I like this.
I should teach sitting down more often. Okay, so... Of course, my phone just crashed, which is what you always want when you're trying to open up the questions. Let's try this again. Beautiful. Okay, guys, so we're going to start with the first question. I wanted to ask you guys to share an example, a real-life story of how a relationship or relationships with another person of faith has strengthened, challenged, or shaped your faith. And you take a couple minutes each.
I hate the microphone. So, sorry. I have lots of these stories, actually. But I'll give one. I was about 17 years old, and there was a couple that were part of the barn. And they invited me to be part of leading a small group with them. And I didn't know how to do that. I never even thought that I could be influential in that way. But they invited me in, and they gave me instruction. They didn't look down on me. They didn't, they just encouraged me to, like, work it out, to try and figure out how is it that you lead other people. And that was really, I guess, maybe the beginning for me of being able to know that, oh, God has purpose for me, that I can be used by God to influence other people, but that's me. Sorry.
Is that your phone?
It is.
Awesome.
Thanks, Nathan. I think at that moment, I was insecure in who I was. I was insecure in just, okay, I'm moving into adulthood, and I don't know what's next. But it really was like just unfolding for me of being able to do small groups for years and years and years after that. I'm grateful for them. I'm so grateful for them.
What's really cool about that is that kind of combines two of the five things we're talking about. So last week we talked about stepping out and using what God's put inside of you, right? And oftentimes these go together because someone needs to call out of us what's inside of us. You need someone to see it before you can see it. So that's, thank you.
It's hard to answer this question. I think after I have three little boys, or not so little anymore, but many of you are parents in here, and you have children, and you kind of become isolated and into the, taking care of your children in that world of kind of caring for younger kids and not really doing anything that, you're interested in anymore, doing the thing that you love. So I think after having kids, I kind of got drawn away from my own life, I guess. So in that, there's been a lot of changes in my life that have been pretty difficult, in my family and even losing my mom and things like that. So I think, the relationships that in this last year, I've been kind of looking to make new friends and meet other people. When you kind of become isolated, I think in my own opinion, you kind of tend to not talk too much, because I know for me, I'm a little nervous about things that I say or being judged for how I am, or maybe people not connecting in the same way that, the things that I'm into right now. So, but coming here, I've gotten to meet so many people, and not even by me really looking for anything. I think I've been put in situations, and it's been really encouraging to me to kind of be put in, I'm talking like totally random situations where I've found that there are so many people that I have things in common with, or have been going through the same things that I've been going through, and just really being able to support one another in that. And also in terms of really putting yourself out there, I think when you're, not necessarily looking for friends, but really trying to connect with people, you have to take some risks. So, for me, I don't really like to share a lot of my personal situations. And I think I've been encouraged by the people that I've met to kind of open up and share those things, even though they're not necessarily, they're pretty gritty. And I don't normally do that, but in doing that, I've connected with so many people, and not just connecting with people, but being able to trust those people. It's different than other friendships that I've made over the years, where people come and go with the changes in your life. It's been very encouraging to me to know that when I share something so deeply personal, or something's truly exciting, that people genuinely care. And also won't judge me for those things also.
Yeah, I think that's one of the hardest things. But, Anupa makes a great point talking about vulnerability in relationships, because often I think it's easy just to stay at a surface level. But I think we only get out of those relationships. You don't like what I'm saying? We only get out of those relationships what we put into them. So I think what you're saying is so true, that you found that, and I know this is risky, because sometimes you can do that and it can backfire, but when we're vulnerable and we open up to other people, it allows for a depth that wouldn't have been there otherwise. So yeah. Tyler, do I need to replace the battery on this while Jillian's talking? Should be good? Okay, cool. It'll just be fun. We'll see what happens.
Okay, so I would agree that there's been a lot of people in my life who have been impactful and who have really helped shape who I am now. But I think that one of the most monumental things that I can remember was a few years ago. I'll start by saying I grew up in the church, and I feel like a lot of my life has been pretty... God's just been so gracious, and I feel like it's been, I should say, a smooth sailing. But this was the biggest monumental thing that I'd ever gone through, and I was in a really bad relationship, and I had just, like, I knew who I was before that, and I didn't have any questions about God, who God said I was, but I just was a broken version of myself, and I couldn't even tell you who God said I was, and I just felt like in pieces. And so I was in this bad relationship, and I was in nursing school, so there was stress with every area of my life at that time. And I had gone over Christmas to New Hampshire with the person that I was with, and I everything just blew up. Like everything, every situation in my life where things were falling apart, just everything came crashing down around me. And I was actually staying with another couple that we knew. And there was another couple from the Manchester Vineyard up there who I knew from growing up as a youth in the vineyard, but not super close with. And my parents knew that I was staying with the couple that we knew as a couple, and so because everything was falling apart, I ended up with this couple from the Manchester Vineyard, and they took me in, and they let me stay in their home for the entire week. They fed me, they involved me in their Christmas and all of their family traditions, and just because I was a mess, and I felt like it had been the most, like, I had ever been so broken, and I didn't even know how to voice what I was feeling, and they took hours and hours with me to walk me through, to process, to just hear what I had to say, and there were things that I hadn't even told my parents, I hadn't told anybody, things that were making me scared that I felt like I couldn't share, and they, like, I couldn't even tell my parents, so they called my parents. My parents didn't even know who they were, and, like, here are these people, these kind people, who just because they had so much love for me, they walked me through all of it. They helped my parents process everything, and they took me in, and I have never felt so much love and just mercy. Like, when I needed it and when I felt so scared and when I was alone, because I was in a state, like, I lived in Virginia, and I was all the way up in New Hampshire by myself, basically, at this point, and they took me in for the whole week. I mean, I had a plane flight scheduled a week later, and I was just there, so they offered for me to stay there, and I, the whole time that I was there, they talked to me, they invested in me, they ministered to me, and one of the closest relationships that I have now, and even though they live in New Hampshire, I would say that they are my biggest mentors, and I feel like because they invested so much, that relationship is just always going to be there.
I know they are. They're really awesome. yeah, I think that, so this is what I think is difficult. So what I would call that a providential thing. Like when I say the word providential, I mean, whatever. God brought in a relationship that you couldn't have predicted, that you weren't necessarily seeking out. And that's a similar thread in a lot of our stories. Like if we had all of us come up here and say, tell us of a time when you in a relationship did something in your faith, it usually was probably not something you sought out, but I'm going to ask you guys this question anyway, because can we create the atmosphere for that to happen more often? You know, the whole idea of by walking with the wise, you can become wise. So the first question I have is, you know, how do you form relationships where this can happen? And are there certain qualities that you're looking for in those kinds of people? I have no idea what you guys have prepared to say about this. And if there's not a lot to say, that's fine. We have a follow-up question. But, you know, is there a way to do that? Are there certain qualities you're looking for in those relationships that you know can impact your life?
So this morning, I during the week, I actually thought I was going to share something else, and I felt like this morning just totally different. I think a key is being able to be transparent, being able to be vulnerable, and being willing to submit yourself to accountability are really important to those relationships. So that requires that you trust the person that you're looking to invest in you that way. Purposeful. You have to be purposeful. The fruit of a person's life, is kind of a good gauge, of what you want them to invest in you, or what you can glean from their life is seeing that there's fruit in their life that has, it's good fruit. It bears good fruit. So I think being able to identify areas that maybe you're weak and being able to grow and allowing yourself or putting yourself in a place of saying, okay, I submit to, however it is that you can speak into my life, that will help me to grow. I think it also takes some commitment. Mm-hmm. It takes commitment for sort of what you were saying earlier about Phil telling you, like, this is the long haul. It's not like here's a quick fix for how you grow. Growth is over time, and anybody that's done any gardening or, tried to grow anything, it takes time. That is a process. I think I said a lot and rambled.
That's good.
That's really hard to follow. I agree that I think it takes commitment, time, and kind of being open-minded. It's hard to say, you have to go look for friends, but I do think that having kind of an open mind about other people and not looking for some sort of perfect situation where you're going to meet somebody that kind of fits some sort of cookie cutter mold of what you think a friend may be. I think in doing that and kind of keeping your mind open and your idea of a friend open, you experience something so much more valuable and you grow from it, because I think everyone, we all experience maybe same situations in very different ways, and the only way we can learn and support one another is to really understand how everyone sees that same thing differently. I think it allows you to really grow in a relationship and then build the trust that you need in a friendship. And also, I've met a lot of you here just for the first time, very briefly, some of you, and I think that you have to kind of put yourself out there a little bit. You have to make the time to do this. With kids, for me, it's very hard to do that because there's no time. So I now block out. We have things like small groups where I put it on my calendar and I do not skip it, no matter what. And I get there. So in doing that, it's allowed me that things that I've needed in my life is the support of others. And so you have to make the time for it and go and do it for yourself. So put value in it because it's important.
I think that something that I've always looked for, obviously you don't just go to somebody that you don't trust, so I think trust is extremely important. But I feel like in people that I specifically have gone to and trusted with, praying for me and investing in my life have been people where you can see the fruit in their own life. And, I've known a lot of people in the church who come to church and they don't ever get involved. And I feel like you miss out on a huge part of what God has for you in relationships. And there are people that you know them. I mean, the Bible says you know them by their fruit. So like you can see in their life, in their children's lives, and in everything that surrounds them, the grace of God in their life. And I feel like those are the people that I've always been drawn to and have trusted. And I think that part of coming to people like that is, yes, it's vulnerability and you have to be transparent, but sometimes your, at least in my own life, my pride or my inability to say that I can't do this on my own and I need somebody else's kept me from freedom. It's kept me from relationship. But I can say confidently that every time that I have been willing and I have gone to people, it's never been regretted. And I've always grown from it. And the Lord has always used it in some way. So I think that people who are willing to invest in you and to love you without cost, to say, you know, I'm always willing and I'm always here if you need me, and then kind of put it the ball back in your court, I feel like those are the people that I seek out, and I think that growing up in the church, there are so many people like that that aren't, for lack of better words, utilized because we're not willing to invest in relationships or we're too afraid to say that we were wrong or that we couldn't do it on our own, and so, yeah.
Okay, so I think there's like a whole lot of practical application from those three answers that we could pull out, and I'll just try to remember a few of them. You know, I think Anupa was, and Dan were talking about commitment, and that this isn't, I mean, this is really the point I'd like to make, is that this doesn't have to only happen on accident. So there are going to be times when God is just so good, and he brings a relationship in that you couldn't have predicted. But I also think that we can create the environment for that to happen. And so I love how Anupa is talking about, she puts small group on the calendar, and she makes it a priority. In a second, we're going to talk about what stands in the way from that kind of stuff. But, you know, we've heard vulnerability. We've heard seeking out people who have, Jillian and Dan said, the fruit in their lives. And what they're talking about is when you see something in someone that you would like to have in you, when you see something in someone that is you can respect or you can look up to even, and I think this can happen in friendships. I mean, I think a classical way of thinking about this is mentoring. And I'm all for mentoring, and maybe we find mentors in our lives. I've had some mentors in my life, but I think, to be honest, the greater volume of growth in my life has come from friendships. And so it's, you know, are we forming friendships and then allowing those friendships to go to a level where they can stretch us and challenge us? Are we willing to say the stuff that needs to be said? Because you can just have friendships and talk about sports and weather, right? And you can actually go for years and keep friendships at like a super shallow level. But are we talking about the hard things? Like what Anupa was saying, that she's had to kind of take that risk in the friendships that she's made here. And just like, you know, you open up that the what's behind the curtain in your life. Like we all have this facade that we put out there. But who are we letting behind that facade to say, you know, here's how my relationships are going. Here's how my kids are doing. Here's how my marriage is doing. Here's how my personal life is going. Here are the things I struggle with. And opening that up, obviously, it's a two-way street. But getting to know each other on that level, I think, produces growth that you're not going to get any other way. Okay, we have like 5 more minutes for you guys and then 2 more minutes for me. So let me just ask you real quick, what is... If we know that relationships are so vital to growing our faith, what are the barriers in your life?
Can you say that again for me?
All right, if we know relationships are so vital, what are the barriers to forming those relationships in your life? And if we have time, maybe like how do you overcome those? Or maybe not just forming, but maintaining even. Like what are the barriers to having those relationships over the long haul?
I think I can answer that better with the maintaining.
Okay.
Because I don't think for me that it's difficult to really engage or to, but it's maintaining them, okay, and being able to have deep, meaningful relationship, right? The yeah. type that we're talking about, where it influences, you know, how you think, how you process things. I think scheduling is one of those things. Is being purposeful. Is that you have to set aside time for it. And I, you know, I'm going to hit small group again. Small group is one of those places to do that, is that you actually get to be more vulnerable in those settings than, you know, say a congregational setting like this. So being purposeful. And also just, it's hard, I think, for us to manage all the different things, whether it's kids or work or other services or volunteering that we do, that it takes a, you know, it takes being mindful of, okay, that is something that I need. And it's also something that's mutually needed by that other person, is that that connection isn't just for us. It's also for the, you know, the other person that we're engaging with. So I think scheduling is one of those things, is just being able to manage your own schedule.
I think scheduling is the biggest thing for me, finding the time. But I've been kind of a little hard on myself about it, though, because I can make time for things like watching Netflix till 2 in the morning. And I can even make time for, you know, you can waste a lot of time in your day doing things that are so not valuable. So I'm a little bit critical of myself now because I know what I want, and I want to get to those goals. And one of those things is meeting other people and making friends and learning new things. So actually just booking out the time and doing it. And it's a little bit rigid and, you know, planned for fun. But if you have to do that, just do it. I think the second barrier is that, you know, when you're meeting people at church, for me, my past experiences in church have been that people in church can tend to be judgy. You think that you're going to go to church and make friends that are going to only know a piece of your life that may be a little bit more polished or, a certain way. You think that that's what you're going to have in church. And I found here, and in kind of opening up my mind a little bit, realizing that, you know, we all are kind of pretty similar, even in the good and bad things that we experience, and maybe in the things that we like to do, or I'm not saying, no, that came out wrong, but, you know, just in being human beings and people who are just real. So I think that when you trust people and put yourself out there a little bit, you will find that you actually may connect with people. It's not always going to be somebody judging you back. It may actually be really good for you. So to just go ahead and do it and take the chance.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. And I think that the other aspect of that, I mean, I feel like you don't get very far with a facade, and you don't get very far just putting on a face. And I think that in the church, if you come to somebody and with brutal honesty and say, this is who I am, it also makes you less intimidating to the other person, because nobody's perfect and nobody has it all together. So I think that if I approached someone or met someone in a small group and somebody that I trusted and saw on a regular basis, I feel like to maintain a good relationship where it's not just superficial and it's not just, hey, how's the football game? I feel like you have to come with all your stuff in all honesty, and it makes you less intimidating to them. It makes them feel like, well, yeah, I'm not perfect either. Let's connect. Let's talk about it. Let's hold each other accountable. And I feel like you can't make good relationships last a long time without honesty and without transparency. So I think that that's really important.
Yeah. All right. Good. Thank you guys so much. Let's give these guys a hand. Thank you guys. So while they're getting off stage, the band can come on up, and I'm just gonna have a couple closing thoughts here, and then we'll sing our final song. I think practically, I found this verse. This is not like a verse I've ever read before, so you know that's true about pastors too. Don't worry. But I thought, wow, it's just so true. Do two people walk together unless they've agreed to meet? No, not usually. I mean, unless we run into each other. It's so simple. But it's honestly so profound, and when I read that, it struck me, and I couldn't not share it. And you might think that that's really stupid, but I love it, because this is true about life. There's enough in my life that if I just am unintentional about relationships, I will not have them. So I have to decide. I have to make it a priority, and that's really what we're talking about. We're just encouraging intentional relationships, and I would say not just for friendship's sake, but for growing in our faith. And I would say we're talking about how can we see God better, the space between us. One of the greatest ways to see God is in each other. One of the greatest ways to know more about God, to know more about who he is to look to each other. I'll tell you, I mean, I've been in church my whole life, but most of my small group experience up until this past year has been teenagers, because I've led teenager small groups. And so I've loved those, and those have been great, and they're their own special thing. But this past year and a half has been the first time in my life I've been a part of an adult small group with people my own age. And, You know what? I got to tell you, it's like one of my favorite things about this whole adventures of starting a new church. And there is just something that's happened in getting to know each other on that level. And it can be awkward, and it can be, you know, there's times where like, whatever, like there's silence or people say things or, you know, it's like, it's not like easy, but it's worth it, which is probably true about most things in life that are worth it, right? So I want to just encourage you, what are you doing? Oh, I wanted to ask ourselves two questions as we close. So are you fostering relationships like this in your life? Have you created space in your life, like what Anupa was talking about, where you are bumping into each other intentionally, that you are getting into each other's lives and being able to speak into each other's lives? And two, are you offering a relationship like this to others? You know, I want to tell you that you all have something to give when it comes to faith. Who are you investing in? I think that we should all know purposefully there is these people or this group or this person that I am investing in, that I am investing in their faith, and we're leaning into these relationships together. So let's stand up together. What we do here at City Light when we end the talk is we don't like to just end the talk and run out. We like to give a chance for you to reflect. So we're going to do one more song. And here are some things that you can do during this reflection time. You can spend some time honestly thinking about the barriers in your life that keep you from these kinds of life-giving, faith-building relationships. Do you have them? And if not, what can you do to change that? Jesus, thank you that you have given us each other. We thank you for that gift. God, I pray that we could grow in our ability to see the need for that in our lives. God, I pray you give us the courage to cross that the facade and become vulnerable with each other. God, I pray that you would provide for each of us friends and mentors who would challenge us and stretch us and grow our faith, God. And just if you can keep your eyes closed just for a minute, while we're here in this moment, I just want to offer to anyone who has never made that decision to say, yes, I want to follow you, Jesus. I'm just going to pray a prayer. And if that's you, if you'd like to do that, maybe it's your first time, or maybe you have felt far from God and you felt disconnected. And some of the songs we've sung today have been tugging on your heart. And you know that you need to reconnect with Jesus. I'm going to just pray a prayer that you can pray. You can repeat after me. Just do it in your heart. You don't have to do it out loud. So Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died and rose again for my sins. I know that I am not perfect. I know that I need a Savior. I thank you for the free gift of salvation that I cannot earn. I give you my life. Just with everyone's eyes still closed, if you're out there and you prayed that prayer, just raise your hand real quick. No one else is going to see but me. Just raise your hand. All right, if you raised your hand, just want to encourage you to stop by the wall over there. Some of those prayer people are there. Would just like to meet you and just encourage you. And you can hand your card in over there. That way I can know and I'll give you an email this week. So Jesus, we thank you and love you for today. We thank you for your love in our lives. And we pray that you would be with us, walk with us for the rest of this week. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.